Nashville Sports Network. Let's talk racing. This is Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Kyle Larson along the inside lane of the racetrack, checks to his right. There's Chris Buescher, but not for long because Kyle Larson rockets out in front at the drop of the green flag.
He accepts the green and white checkered flag. Stage one is over, and it belongs to Kyle Larson.
There it is. 148 laps led today. 10,000 career laps led in the NASCAR Cup Series. He won stage one, Kyle Larson did earlier today, and now he has won stage two. We've got Larson to the high side, and Keselowski now completes the pass, moving by to the inside. Keselowski goes to second.
Turn two, Brad Keselowski, the second place automobile, is in the fence. Right front tire may have failed. Oh, trouble. Around and into the wall goes Cody Ware.
Trouble in turn number three. Kyle Busch spins to the bottom of the racetrack.
Multi-car pileup exiting turn number two.
Here he comes off quarter number four. The checkered flag is in the air, and Kyle Larson wins the Advent Health 400 at Kansas.
And that is how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network, as heard here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. Chase McCabe with you on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. Hope you're having a great Wednesday, a good Wednesday evening. We're here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And Kyle Larson dominates at the Kansas Speedway, leading 221 of the 267 laps to get his third victory on the NASCAR season. And he's in a very busy month of May. We all know that coming up in a few weeks, he's going to attempt the double once again, driving both the Indianapolis 500 and then the Coca-Cola 600. His efforts got cut short last year because of rain. He finished the 500, got to Charlotte literally as the rain was falling, missed the start of the race, and never even competed in that race. And it's going to be important this year for him to show up for Charlotte, because NASCAR basically said, hey, we gave you a pass last year. We're not going to do it again this year. So my guess is if weather shows up at Indy, he will head to Charlotte and be there for that race. But we all are hopeful that he's going to be able to pull it off and run the double and maybe make history, which I think would be really, really cool. But he dominates at the Kansas Speedway and, looked really, really good. I mean, I think all the competition needs to be worried, because I think Kyle Larson is starting to find his confidence. Not that it wasn't there, but I think it's really, really starting to show itself. And in fact, Chad Knaus, who of course is one of the leaders at Hendrick Motorsports, he represented leadership in the post-race press conference. He talked about Kyle finding that confidence.
Yeah, obviously confidence is something that's important in everybody's life. And right now he's got a lot of it. Being able to win races here recently in the Cup Series, what he's doing outside of the Cup Series is strong. I think last year at the Indy 500, and then what we did at the All-Star Race, and what, you know, how prepared we were for the 600. Unfortunately, once Mother Nature stepped in, we didn't have a whole lot that we could do. But we're really excited about this year. His preparation is high. Cliff and the team, obviously, they're ready to execute. They got everything in place, the best of our ability, and then we just have to let things shake. So I'm super proud of those guys. It's really an honor to be able to try to execute the double, especially 2 years in a row. And we're pumped for the next couple of weeks.
Well, and they should be, but coming off a dominant win like they did, I mean, his is certainly going to help with that confidence. But listen to these stats. Kyle Larson is now the points leader, by the way. He has 3 wins, which is tied with Christopher Bell for the most on the year. 8 top fives, which is the most. 9 top tens, which is the most of any of the other drivers. He only has 1 DNF, and he has led a whopping 817 laps this year and 23 stage wins, which is the most of any driver. I mean, he is dominating right now. Now, he's got to be able to sustain that as the year goes on, but he's already put himself in a great position for the playoffs. And look, this could be a repeat of what we saw in 2021 when he won his championship. It was the last year in the old car. He won out here at the Nashville Super Speedway. Could he possibly be doing that again? I don't know, but he's got to be feeling really good right now. This was Kyle Larson with Fox Sports after the win.
Yeah, I was trying really hard to pace myself because I believe that was our longest run of the day. And I had been struggling a little bit at the end of the runs. You know, Chase is really good. And so I felt like I just needed to try to be better, you know, my end. And I don't know if it was paying off or not at the end. I was still struggling. I don't know if the right front was starting to wear a lot or what, but I was starting to lose a lot of grip. And then I was vibrating really bad. So I was afraid of right rear or something would let go. So. But yeah, great car, great execution today too for our team. Thanks to HendrickCars.com, Valvoline, Prime, all you race fans too for coming out. You know, this is awesome weather to get to watch a cool race. So glad to not win by an inch right here this time and a little bit safer gap. But thanks again to the team. Congrats to all Hendrick Motorsports, the engine shop, everybody there.
You start what is the middle, or you're in the middle of what is a very busy month of May for you right now to start to have this momentum and carry it the rest of the way through. How does that help?
Yeah, I don't know. It's got to help a little bit, but it's so different at Indy, and the cars are different. But yeah, I look forward to getting there. We're going to fly there tonight, celebrate with Caitlin. Happy Mother's Day, Caitlin, all the moms out there, my mom especially. So yeah, it's a cool to win here in Kansas, and now we'll try to execute 2 good weeks there at Indy.
Well, and don't forget, he's got the All-Star race in North Wilkesboro coming up Sunday as well, because he's looking to make history and tie Jimmy Johnson, a Hendrick Motorsports driver back in his driving days, now owns his own team with Legacy Motor Club, but trying to tie him for the fourth All-Star win in his career. He's won it back in 23 at North Wilkesboro, but he would be the second driver to do that. He's currently sitting with Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt for second. With 3 wins in the All-Star race, which is great company to be in. But if he can tie Jimmy and then eventually break that, I mean, look, Kyle Larson is writing an incredible story. I mean, if you think about where he was, comes in with Chip Ganassi Racing, he's good. You know, everyone kind of is like, okay, he knows he's got the talent. And then he has the, you know, during COVID and the iRacing and says the slur and all of that and has that incident. Loses his ride. Everybody thinks, hey, he might be done. Gets another chance with Hendrick Motorsports, which I think he was already going to head there anyway. I believe that he was going to replace Jimmy Johnson in the 48 car if all that doesn't happen. But because it did, you put him in the 5, what have you. Wins the championship in 21, dominates, and then look at what he's done. I mean, he's been in the mix in years since then. Gets this new car, kind of has to get used to some things like everybody else, and then he has a dominant performance this past weekend, but he's already won 3 races and has just been dominating the year. The kid, there's a reason they call him Young Money. I mean, he is that good. And so if he's hoisting the trophy at Phoenix again, it's going to surprise nobody. So, I mean, his confidence is just through the roof right now, as it should be. And I think that it's an interesting story of where Larson is in his career and where he has come from. And they're building so much momentum. He talks about having a couple of good weeks at Indy and all of that. And, you know, his crew chief Cliff Daniels spoke on momentum and being able to build that in this month of May.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to help carry our momentum. And, you know, a lot of the things that we're going to take away from today that I think will be important for us moving forward. If you look at the end of stage 1 and stage 2, we were not as fast as what we wanted to be. And so I still think that there's, you know, things on the table as a team that we need to go find and go build from and execute, you know, a little bit better with adjustments or, you know, car balance, whatever it may be. It's going to be those type of things coupled with, of course, the you know, win momentum, which is always a good thing. But when you could run up front and still walk away and have areas to improve, that is what we enjoy. That's what we're going to take away. And you know, for him, I don't know that as many times as he races, and he's talked about this before, like he just doesn't carry stuff over. I mean, he had a heck of a you know, spill the other night in the high limit race and walks right into the NASCAR race ready to go. You know, he doesn't carry one race to the next. Obviously, momentum can be a real thing. It's always a good thing. But for him, he's racing all the time. So I think he's just ready to go.
And I think it's created something with other drivers. You know, when you talk about Kyle Larson racing all the time and what he, you know, what he's able to do to show that he can be that dominant, and not let things bother him. I think some of that experience has come from racing all types of cars. And I can remember back to Tony Stewart. When Tony Stewart would race, you know, anything that had a steering wheel just about, I think some of that, even though the cars are completely different, that confidence carries over. And the fact that Larson has that type of confidence, I mean, is just putting him in this position where he can be such a dominant driver, and it shows. And I thought what Cliff said there about not letting things get to him, you know, if he has a bad day in the sprint car or has a bad day in a truck or a bad day in the Xfinity car, you know, it just – you know, he races so much that it kind of rolls off his back. Larson kind of doubled down on that when he was asked in the post-race press conference.
I don't know. Maybe I've hit stuff enough. I have a short memory. My memory's faded. But I don't know. I do think it's because I race a lot, I'm guessing. I would say that that's a big part of, you know, me being able to move on quickly from things, whether it's a good race or a bad race or, you know, a wreck or good result, bad result, whatever. Mistakes on track. Obviously, though, if it happens multiple times in a row, it can kind of linger a little bit longer, but, you know, more so just hurt your confidence a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. I think I just race a lot, so it probably helps.
So you can tweet at me, at Chase on Game, or at 1025 The Game. Is Kyle Larson being a dominant driver good for the sport? I say yes, because I think this sport has missed having, you know, someone like that for a while. It, you know, Earnhardt had his day, Petty before that, Waltrip, you know, Cale Yarborough. I mean, there were a lot back in the day. And then you go into the 90s and Jeff Gordon comes in and he kind of takes over. Tony Stewart wins, you know, three championships. Then Jimmy goes on the run that he went on, winning seven, including five in a row. NASCAR, I think, has kind of missed having a guy like that. Now, Joey Logano is in that category as well. I think he, sometimes people don't want to give him the credit that he deserves. He's won three championships in a lot of races. And to me, having, you know, and then Kyle Busch, he's won his championships. But I think Larson doing what he's doing and being, especially when it comes to the double, being that first driver that actually has a legitimate shot at winning both races, you know, Stewart was in that category, I think is really compelling. It's compelling to the story. It's compelling to the sport. And a lot of people are paying attention to it. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. So what do you think? Do you think he's good for the sport? I do. I certainly think he is. And I also think what's falling under the radar is Hendrick Motorsports is back. I mean, they are dominating. If you look at them right now, obviously he won the race on Sunday. And they really were in a position to have everybody. Bowman had a top five. Chase Elliott was having a good day and had some issues, and same with William Byron. But they're in a position to really make some noise when it comes to the playoffs. Larson's the point leader. Then it's William Byron. Chase Elliott's in fourth, and Alex Bowman is in eighth. So all four cars are in the top ten. When we come back, we'll talk more about where Hendrick Motorsports is in relation to some of the other teams and where they, you know, where they could go. And also more on Larson and the double. It's Chasing Checkers. Bubba Wallace going to join us this week. So we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Chasing Checkers presented by Nashville Super Speedway here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Chasing Checkers is on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Yeah, it's really was a great day for us. Obviously, the victory and the pole was something that you can be extremely proud of. But I think if you take a step back and look at the performance of the 48 car, you know, drop the green flag, they go from 21st all the way up to 9th, showing that the speed in the car was there. Execution was good all day long, and to be able to get a top five, it's unfortunate we had that issue with the 24 car with the tire. Obviously, that wasn't an isolated thing to them. It was, you know, across the field, no make, no manufacturer, you know, was isolated and wasn't impacted by that to some degree. So that's unfortunate, but we'll go home and we'll dig into that. But I'm proud of those guys continuing to fight through the day. And the 9 obviously was really strong and had a great day going, was able to go up there, pass for the lead and lead laps, something that, you know, we've been encouraging and pushing that 9 team, and they're getting better and better. So that's really nice to see. But, you know, to be here on Mother's Day, obviously, and to be able to get the victory with the 5 car was something very special.
That's Chad Knaus in the post-race press conference after the Kansas win. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe with you on this Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday and presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. Get your tickets for the Cracker Barrel 400 weekend. NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or call 1-866-RACE-TIX. Bubba Wallace is going to join us here in just a few minutes on the program, so looking forward to that. But I talk about Hendrick Motorsports and where they're at this point in time, because they have they've had a really good season to this point. They got all four cars in the top 10. I mean, you even go back to the clash at Bowman Gray, which Chase Elliott won. I know that's not a points race, but that kind of started off the momentum. And then the Daytona 500, William Byron wins that, so that's 1 points win. Larson wins at Homestead. Larson wins at Bristol. Larson wins at Kansas. So Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman still looking for their first points wins of the year, but you gotta like where they're at this point as a whole. Chad Knaus, who of course is part of the leadership now, 7-time winning crew chief, talked about where Hendrick is as a team.
Yeah, I think that if you take a look at it, we're maturing as a group. Obviously, the crew chiefs are now in their third complete year of working together. Our drivers are maturing, working together. They dive in deep with one another. They lean on each other. The communication at Hendrick Motorsports has always been high, but I don't know that it's ever been as high as what it is right now. It's something great to be a part of. Obviously, we've got Tom Gray, who is our technical director, who moved up at the end of last year, and he's doing a really good job in his role. And obviously, our leadership is just awesome with Mr. H and Gordon and Jeff Andrews. So I think if you take all those things and everybody pushes inward, and you know, obviously, one thing we're not afraid to do is run towards a problem, and we do that and we try to get them resolved so that these guys can come to the racetrack and execute. And that's the thing that I think I'm probably the most proud of with our race teams is the execution throughout the course of the day. They executed at a very high level. Pit stop cycles, the way they perform on pit stops, the strategies they use, really pretty awesome right now.
That was Chad Knaus after the victory. I think if you're a fan of Hendrick Motorsports, you got to feel really good about these drivers. Obviously, Kyle Larson has kind of separated himself in his own little category, at least at the moment. But Chase Elliott was in position for a potential win or a good finish, at least top five, before he had some issues. Bowman, I think, has been steady. He's been running much better. And then Byron has done the same thing and has been in position to win. I mean, right now, you know, if I look at the challengers, obviously Christopher Bell and Joe Gibbs, they won three in a row early in the season at Atlanta, Coda, and Phoenix. And then you had Penske kind of get into the mix with Josh Berry. I count him. Denny won two in a row at Martinsville and Darlington. Cindric and Logano, two in a row for Penske. So they're in the mix with Talladega in Texas. So, I mean, it's still very early in all of this, and we know that. We know the playoff format, the way that it is, you know, can change things. But I think if you're Hendrick Motorsports, if you're a fan of Hendrick Motorsports and any of these drivers, you got to feel like you got a pretty legitimate chance to take home the championship this year, especially with the way somebody like Larson has been running. He talked about kind of the success and where they're at right now.
I just think it's really cool. I think it's good for our team. I think it's good for our sport. I think it's good for racing, you know, that the Cup Series point leader is competing in the Indy 500 for the, you know, second year in a row. I would say last year was a goal of mine. This year I didn't really think about it, but I do think it puts even more of a spotlight on us and our sport. So I do think it's really cool. And yeah, we had a great day. So great points day. And yeah, I look forward to next couple weeks and then actually getting race 600 and hopefully having the point lead after that one too.
Yeah. I mean, and that was more on the Indy 500, but I think it is a great thing for the sport, for motor racing, or auto racing, you know, to have him being in the spotlight as he's NASCAR's leader. He's going to go into IndyCar, where he competed very well last year. He led laps at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He didn't have a speeding penalty. He might've won the thing. Who knows? Luckily it was Joseph Newgarden, who of course is from here, but I think it's again, the story he's writing is a very, very good one. But the fact that it's carrying over not only with him, but with the entire team with Hendrick Motorsports, I think is certainly something to pay attention to, because they're not going away anytime soon. Cliff Daniels, the crew chief for the 5 team, talked more about that.
I don't know that there's a specific why for this year that would be different than the path to get us here. I mean, when you think back to 2021, the last year of the old car, Dover was 1, 2, 3, 4 for Hendrick, and we had some other really good, you know, races for the company that year. To me, it all goes back to, I think it was 2017, Mr. Hendrick demanded that we weren't going to have the building split of two teams in different buildings and put us all together. And we say it a lot, and it's one thing to say, but it's another thing to practice of how closely all four teams really do work. There's no hidden notes. There's no secret notebook. Everything is shared really out in the open with our engineering corps, with the crew chief group. All of our meetings are together. We do everything, you know, as a combination of the four teams. There's never any, you know, specific meeting just or conversation that just happens between a couple groups. If we're going to talk engineering or setup theory, it's going to be with all four teams present in the same room. And that's just Mr. Hendrick's vision of how he wanted the company to be led. And I think he saw that if the communication, the teamwork, all the cliche things, but they're so important to live out, if that came into fruition, you see what you see today, where, yeah, I would argue we could have run 1 through 4, you know, with the speed of what some of those guys look like, you know, earlier in the day.
And that's a scary thing to think about, because if, again, and that's the sport, that's the way it goes, luck is going to kind of bounce a certain way sometimes, but if they can get things, you know, perfected and not have some of those mistakes, I mean, is anybody else in the conversation right now? Or is it those 400 cars? I mean, facetious. I know that's true. I know that Penske and, you know, Denny and those guys, and we're going to talk to Bubba Wallace, who finds himself in the top 10. They hadn't even hit their stride yet with 2311. It's a long way to go. We know how this is. You get into the summer and certain tracks pop up on the schedule that certain teams are better at than other teams. It evens itself out. You know, Larson has got the 3 wins at the early portion of the season, just like Christopher Bell, and Bell has been, you know, pretty good as well. I mean, has been in contention. I mean, he's sitting third in the standings right now with those 3 wins, actually moved up 3 spots, I should say. So, I mean, he's no slouch either, but right now, it's certainly interesting to watch Hendrick Motorsports. When it comes to the double and Kyle Larson, I'm curious to see what they learned from last year on this, you know, how he learned to kind of, you know, deal with everything and, you know, what it could actually mean for racing if he were to pull this off. He did a sit down with the Motor Racing Network and talked about some of these things, and including like where that desire to run the Indianapolis 500 came from.
Maybe a kid, you know, but when it became like a reality that maybe someday I could do it, and something that I kind of maybe want to pursue, you know, as I got older, was when I got to Ganassi. You know, they had IndyCar, they still have IndyCars, and they had Cup cars at the time, and I was racing them, and, you know, the opportunity was kind of there to do it. I didn't feel like our Cup program was quite where it needed to be to like take focus away from it. So yeah, I would say then was probably when I really thought, you know, if I ever get into the right point of my career, I could do it, and I want to do it.
And that would have been interesting had he done that back then, because, you know, he's right. The Cup program was not where it needed to be, but the IndyCar program is one of the best. And I think everybody knows that what Chip has put, you know, on the racetrack and the IndyCar program has been really good. So if Larson had been one of those, who knows what might have happened. But I think waiting until he got to Hendrick, and obviously he didn't know how his career was going to pan out, all of that turned out to be the right move, because he's sending in the best stuff with Hendrick. The Cup program is where it can be. So Mr. H and Jeff Gordon and Chad Knaus and that group, Jeff Andrews, they're more inclined to say, yeah, you know what? You want to spend some time focusing on the Indy 500 and trying to win the Indy 500 in the month of May, we're cool with it, because it's not affecting anything when it comes to the Cup program. They just dominated Kansas. I think they're proving it. And I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't win the thing, the All-Star race coming up this weekend at North Wilkesboro. He also talks about how he balances the next few weeks leading up to the double.
Yeah, I mean, it takes away a little bit, but not a lot. You know, I think when you do this every weekend, NASCAR, and you work with your team every week, you become, you know, pretty comfortable with things and the week, you know, how it flows and all that. And I felt like last year, although, you know, like I
really didn't think any NASCAR, you know, during the week. And it was kind of odd. But then when I showed up, everything's ready to go. We were fast off the truck and all that. So it was fine. So, yeah, there's just a little bit less communication that I get to have, you know, with the team, you know, maybe with meetings and competition meetings and stuff like that. But like I said, our team operates so smoothly that it does take away, but it doesn't affect anything negatively, I don't think.
That's basically what I was saying. I mean, it's the truth. They're such a well-oiled machine that I don't think it really messes anything up when it comes to the Cup program and what they're doing with Hendrick Motorsports. That's what allows these guys to go do other things. Look, I wouldn't be shocked to see somebody else try it at some point in time. I'm surprised Jeff Gordon never did it. And I guess it's just the times have changed. But I always thought, you know, he might. Jimmy obviously did it after he didn't do the double, but he went and ran the Indy 500 a couple times when his Cup career was done. But again, I keep using this phrase. It's a fun story to watch, and I can't wait to see it here in a couple weeks. I'm pulling for him. I want him to win both, want him to be the first to do it. I mean, he's already solidified his spot, but I think that would just add to the legacy that is Kyle Larson. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Bubba Wallace. He drives the number 23 for 2311 Racing. Of course, Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan. We will talk to Bubba coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. From 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You're in the Pod Center on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Wednesday. Of course, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. And one of the drivers you will see in just a few weeks is the driver of the number 23 for 2311 Racing. Bubba Wallace is on the line with us. Bubba, how the heck are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Let's start with, I know we got some other business to take care of before Nashville, but You had a pretty good run last year, finishing in the top 10. How excited are you to get back to Nashville?
Yeah, Nashville's been actually a really good track for us the past couple of years with the next-gen car. So it's a fun venue, obviously, being in Nashville. Everybody loves Nashville. So, yeah, looking forward to getting back on the track and seeing if we can park in victory lane.
Are you one of the guys that likes to get here early and, you know, hang out downtown a little bit before you have to go to work?
More like get there early and go play golf. Downtown's a little hectic for me, but yeah, I think we're actually going to come in early and have some fun.
Very, very cool. Your season to this point, you're 10th in the standings right now. I know it. Yep. You haven't found victory lane yet, but do you feel like that maybe this first half before the All-Star break has been you and Charles kind of getting on the same page, your new crew chief, and a little bit of feeling things out, not only for your team, but as a company as a whole?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we're where we want to be as a company. We've had speed. We've shown glimpses of that with the 45 and myself and getting Riley up to speed. But yeah, I think, you know, over my last couple years in the Cup Series, at this point, I've never been 10th in the points, right? And so I think it's leaps and bounds from where we've been. But there's still a lot of work left to do. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a challenge, you know, as we progress through the season, but we just got to lock in and stay focused.
How did you feel going into Kansas? Cause I felt you had obviously won there before. I felt like that could have been a breakout track for you. Obviously you had some bad luck, got caught in some stuff, but did you have some confidence going in there?
Yes, for sure. It was, that was after practice. That was the most confident I had been in the car in a long time. And it just wasn't meant to be. Obviously we had our penalty on pit road that set us back. And as soon as we caught our break, we ran into another issue. So that's how racing goes. And you know, you never can count your eggs before they hatch, but definitely felt good about Kansas. So got to put that one in the rear view and focus on the things we learned from there and apply them to the next couple weeks.
Bubba Wallace is with us. So you got the All-Star weekend coming up at North Wilkesboro. Are you going to you're in the open, so you got to race your way in, obviously. So is this a little bit of checkers or wreckers? Is that kind of the mentality going in?
I mean, you got to get in to make it that mentality. So we have to. Last year we raced our way in. We finished second. So we know how to get around there. We got to bring the same setup, bring something similar, but just a little bit better, actually. To lock ourselves in, we feel confident that we can do that. And then, you know, in when you make it to the big show, yeah, there's nothing really else on the line. You know, you want to try some different strategies if you don't think that you can win the race straight up, then yeah, you don't. There's no penalty for it. So it's all about having fun and going for $1 million.
Do you like seeing NASCAR go to some of these historic tracks like North Wilkesboro, Rockingham's on the Xfinity and truck schedule? Has that been kind of cool?
Yeah, I think it's different for sure. I think we all liked the original pavement that we raced on 2 years ago. But the repave, it provided just a different driving style. It wasn't like it was a bad repave. It was just different. And so it's fun. I enjoy North Wilkesboro. I don't think it's, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I think it's a great venue for an exhibition race right now. I don't think it's ready for a points race yet. But yeah, we'll see what happens down the road.
Yeah. It's funny. I hear you guys always bring up like old services that are worn out, mm-hmm. you know, Texas yep. has the bumps and all that stuff.
Yep.
Whenever I go out to the Nashville fairgrounds, everybody's like, don't touch this surface if they do anything yep. to it. What is it about that drivers like?
Well, it puts it in the driver's hands. When you have a repave that, you know, Texas, for example, it's starting to age, but it's we're going on 10 years with that, and it's sketchy. You know, you don't know when you're in the wrong spot until you've crashed. And so from what we had at Old Texas was probably one of the best surfaces aside from Homestead on the circuit, but you're slipping and sliding around. It puts all the control in driver's hands, and that's what we want. We don't want to just run around there wide open the whole time, not being able to pass. So when you have old worn out surfaces, the setup comes into play. The driver is more of a factor, and you have a lot of comers and goers.
Has this next gen car made you a better driver?
Oh man, I don't know. I think just more seat time in any car has made me a better driver. You can never have enough seat time.
Yeah, 100%. I enjoyed watching you in Victory Lane at Daytona in the duels with your son, Bex. I know that was a special moment for you. How has fatherhood been as a race car driver?
It's been a lot of fun. We're enjoying every step of it. He's getting so big. He's on the verge of crawling. It's just a nice refresher. And, you know, I enjoy talking about my son way more than I love or enjoy talking about racing. That's just how the mental perspective shifts. Because that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's fun. Like in talking to other drivers that, you know, have had kids along the way in their career, I get the same sense. And, you know, you look at guys like Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, now that their kids are racing, I know you got a long way to go before we even talk about that, but it does seem to give you maybe some calmness. Is that the best way to put it? Because, you know, you have that escape to go, you know, get away from work and hang out with your son.
Yeah, for sure. It's just like a mental clarity, really. I said this last week, but I'm just living through his eyes now and taking you back to when we were a kid. You know, we didn't have any worries in the world. It was just all about eating and waking up, playing with your friends, having the best time, going to sleep, doing it all over again. So I want to get back to that. Although it's damn near impossible for me to do that. I'm going to do it through my son.
That is very, very cool. Well, Bubba, appreciate the time today. Good luck this weekend at North Wilkesboro. And we look forward to seeing you here in a few weeks in Nashville.
All right, guys. I appreciate you.
And that is Bubba Wallace, driver of the number 23 for 2311 Racing, and really enjoy talking to him. I mean, you just heard how he's matured and grown as a person and a driver, and hearing him tell stories about his son, just so cool. So we wish him well in the All-Star Open and then the All-Star Race, hopefully, if he makes it to that, coming up this weekend. Coming up next, we'll preview the All-Star Race from North Wilkesboro Speedway, which I am very excited about, a historic short track. Also, a little IndyCar action. We'll talk about that as they get ready for the Indianapolis 500. That is all next here on Chasing Checkers. It is presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. Get your tickets, 1-866-RACE-TIX, or simply by going to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far. We're brought to you by the Nashville Super Speedway and putting a bow on things with a little IndyCar talk and also the All-Star Race coming up for NASCAR this weekend as Indy is approaching, as is the Coca-Cola 600, so really looking forward to that. Let's start with IndyCar. I got to tell you, Alex Palou, we talk about Kyle Larson dominating. Alex Palou has been freaking owning the NTT IndyCar season series this year so far. He leads 29 laps at the Grand Prix, the Soniso Grand Prix at Indy. This is where they run the road course. He led 29 laps in that win. Graham Rahal led 49 laps. He finished sixth, but Palou was able to get it done and beat out Pato O'Ward, Will Power, Scott McLaughlin, Scott Dixon, Graham Rahal, Marcus Armstrong, Kyle Kirkwood, who's the only other driver that's won a race this year. Palou's won everything else. Rimas VK, and then Felix Rosenquist being the top 10. Joseph Newgardner, guy from Hendersonville, finished 12th in the race. But Palou has been just freaking dominant throughout the year, and he caught up with IndyCar Radio in victory lane after the win.
Alex Palou taking it in after the podium celebration. And Alex, another winning performance. Take us through your day.
It was an amazing day, man. What can I say? Just started on pole. Didn't do an amazing start, but honestly, Graham did a great job on the start there. The only way I could have kept position was to force him out, and I didn't think that was fair. Then he had a lot of pace. I struggled a little bit at the beginning, and then kind of like the pace of the race and the balance of the car came to us throughout the race and felt super strong at the end.
And you were chasing Graham, like you said, throughout that race, looking at that rear wing of the 15 car, and just take us through that pass on Holman Boulevard.
It was tough. Like, he had a ton of pace on the new reds when he started. Then on the blacks, I didn't really have much more pace. I had a little bit, but not enough to pass him. And then when he was on used alternates and I was on primaries, I kind of like had a little bit of an advantage at the end. Got really well, and I tried to tag him into one and then pass him into seven. So yeah, overall, an amazing day.
Domination early in this season. Now it's a season in itself, the 500. What do you think momentum-wise going into the month of May on the oval?
It's amazing. I mean, we couldn't have started the year better with more confidence or with better momentum. I'm never going to be tired of repeating that I'm here because of the amazing team I have behind and the amazing fast cars that they give me every weekend.
And of course, you can hear a lot of the IndyCar races on Sports Talk 830, including qualifying for the Indy 500 coming up at 3:00 on Sunday on Sports Talk 830. The Indianapolis 500 will be next week starting at 10:00 on 102.5 The Game. We're going to have both the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 on 102.5, 106.3 The Game next Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. So looking forward to that. But Alex Palou just been absolutely dominant this year in IndyCar and is certainly on pace for the championship, looking really good in the standings right now as he is the by far the points leader. 97 point lead over Kyle Kirkwood, who's the only other driver to win this year. So four wins so far for Palou. It's Lundgaard, Pato O'Ward, McLaughlin, Dixon, Power, Rosenquist, Colton Herta, Rinus VK, the top 10 in points in IndyCar. As they've been practicing, getting ready, of course, for the Indianapolis 500 coming up next week. Going back to look at NASCAR, the All-Star Race, North Wilkesboro Speedway. I love it. I love that it's still there. I would like to see them moving around. I think Rockingham would certainly be enticing for people that, you know, kind of looking at historic tracks. So I could certainly see that. Obviously, the fairgrounds would be a really cool spot for it. But as you heard Bubba Wallace say, he said he didn't think that Wilkesboro was quite ready for a points race yet. I find that interesting. I do wonder if next year, whenever the schedule comes out, we could see it as a points race, or if they're going to keep the All-Star race there for at least another year or maybe give it a break or something. I just think with this, as you bring tracks back, it's really hard to give them a break and cut them off. I think you got to stay consistent with them to get people, a new generation, liking them again. So hopefully they can figure something out with it, because you listen to the drivers, how special it is to go there. Here's Chase Elliott on what it would mean to get a win at North Wilkesboro.
You know, the environment there has been great the last couple of years, and I anticipate that it'll be really good there again when we go back. So Yeah, I look forward to it. I mean, I think that I would feel just as excited and just as fulfilled to win an all-star race anywhere. And fortunately had that experience once. You know, I don't care if it's the all-star race or the Clash or any other exhibition race that we do, they're all hard to win. Like, it's not easy. And it's not like people just show up and don't try. You're getting everybody's best all the time. And everybody's competitive enough that they're not just going to lay over because it's not a points race. So that, for me, definitely doesn't take anything away from the All-Star race. I enjoy it. I think it's a great environment. And I look forward to giving it another try.
And I think he's got just as good of a chance as anybody. I mean, we talked about Hendrick Motorsports and how they've run this year. I think Chase Elliott has been consistent. He's put himself fourth in the points. He's good at short tracks. I would definitely look at, you know, him to do it and win at North Wilkesboro. I think that could be obviously really cool. He's very popular. So who knows what kind of reception that would get. I think it would be a positive one if he were to win the All-Star race. How do you prepare for the All-Star race? How do you approach it? Here's Chris Buescher on that very subject.
It's an opportunity to do something different for our sport when there's not points on the line. There's a dollar or two on the line, and I think all the teams are well aware of that. So we approach it pretty much the same as any other weekend, right? It's figuring out how to win. You know, no format change, no points versus not really change the mentality as you head in, with maybe a little exception towards the end and knowing that third place and last place are about the same ultimately. So take a chance, try and figure out how to win a race. There is certainly that opportunity late, but all of our approach to the weekend will look basically the exact same.
And the format has been tweaked a little bit. The last couple of years, the feature has been 200 laps. Now it's going to be 250 laps. There's going to be a competition break at or near the 100-lap mark with potential for an extra intermission. That's new for this year. A single optional promoter's caution flag potentially could be used to reshape the race's complexion. If that yellow flag takes place, it must fly before lap 220 and cannot be used if a naturally occurring caution has happened after lap 200. Some of the rules, a competition within the race will place an emphasis on automaker performances with Chevy, Ford, and Toyota teams facing off in a manufacturer showdown. I think that'll be really cool. So last year, you know, the All-Star Open was 100 laps. It'll be 100 laps this year. Bubba Wallace, of course, will be competing in that. So basically, it's kind of what we've seen the last few years. But I think Austin Cindric talked about with MRN on if the format changes do matter.
Yeah, I think the 50 extra laps is interesting. It was kind of the main thing that I picked up on. It's a short track, and there's obviously a lot of opportunity for losing and gaining track position. It's been an exciting place to see and see the facility kind of grow up a bit. I think even add more laps to the race just is confidence that we can continue to run a solid show there. So I'm excited to see what it looks like another year age on the racetrack as well. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, Bubba talked about that too, of just getting another year of aging the surface and how that might be able to help things with the racing. So I'm looking forward to it. We all know the struggles that the new car, the Gen 7 car, the next gen car, whatever you want to call it, have had with short tracks. I hope that we get a good show coming up on Sunday, but we'll find out. We'll see. Again, you can hear it on 102.5 The Game coming up Sunday night. So be sure to tune in and listen to that beginning at 4 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. So excited about that. That's going to do it for another week of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Bubba Wallace. We got a lot of guests we're lining up for next week. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's more than one driver that's going to join us coming up next week. I will tweet it out early next week to kind of tease it a little bit. But my thanks to the Nashville Super Speedway for being on board. As always, get your tickets, 1-866-RACETIX, or by going to NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com. You can also, if you missed any of the show, check us out by subscribing to the podcast, Chasing Checkers, wherever you get your podcast. And give me a follow on Twitter, @ChaseOnGame. I'm Chase McCabe. Have a great week. Enjoy the All-Star Race and Indy 500 qualifying. We'll talk to you next week at 6 o'clock.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.